Just to briefly discuss this very brief but very significant third aliyah of Parshas Ves Hanan, where there's so much going on in this parsha, then it's hard to know what to focus on. So the ability to focus on this aliyah, which may otherwise not get too much attention, has great benefit to us. And it's a little surprising what goes on here. Here Moshe Rabbeinu, in the middle of giving all this tochacha and all this instruction to the Jewish people, so then he decides to designate Ari Miklat. So the pasuk begins, Az Yavdul Moshe Shalosh Arim Be'ever Hayarden Mizracha Shamesh. So here he chooses to do this mitzvah, and apparently, as Rishonim explain, this is in order to display mitzvos to the Jewish people. But it's a surprising choice of a mitzvah, because first of all, it's not the whole story yet. It's not going to be all of the Ari Miklat, but also, even what he's going to have then is not going to be kolit. It's not going to affect its purpose as an Ir Miklat, as Ari Miklat, until the rest are in place. So nonetheless, Rashi says, yes, Afal Pikein, with all this being the case, Afal Pishein and Koltos, Achi Avdilo Osan Sharetz Kanan, even though they're not going to take effect until the ones that are in the land of Israel are also in place, still Moshe said, Mitzvah Shefsher Lekaima Akaimena, a mitzvah that I can do, I'm going to do. So here, as Rishonim emphasized, the Sfarno, that this is to show the Jewish people just how important it is to fulfill mitzvos, but fulfilling is not really the word, because it's not going to have everything in place, so it's really to work towards mitzvos. And in fact, this pasuk gets brought into the discussion the Achronim have about the question of Chatzi Shir when it comes to mitzvos. We know that when it comes to Averos, so we're not even permitted to do even a little bit of an Aver, even if it's less than the Shir that would be eligible for punishment, still any part of an Aver is prohibited to do. And there's a big discussion when it comes to mitzvos. Let's say if you only have half a kazayas of matzah, is it worth the effort to do a mitzvah in a partial sense that you're not going to get full credit for, you're not going to fulfill? And some bring a proof from here, and that's an interesting idea, that this should tell us anything about that discussion. But perhaps there's also a philosophy that's being displayed here. So the Imre Emes, for example, the Ger Rebbe, is quoted in the Paras Yosef HaChadash, that's maybe davka the point, that to show when it comes to mitzvos, you're always just starting, even when you think you are Yotze, you're always just beginning. We could also say that really it comes to make the opposite point, that even without the fulfillment of a mitzvah, there's still the Ratzon Habore that you are working towards, and that's highly significant. The Kli Yakar has a point along these lines where he writes that it's always worth starting to do a Kadosh Baruch Hu as well, even if you can't be the one to bring it to completion. You're not going to be the one to make it full, but still you are beginning the process, and that's always kedai. Rav Moshe Feinstein has a drasha here in his Darash Moshe, where he emphasizes that this is to show avos hamitzvos, and that essentially it's kind of the opposite of sometimes people have the attitude that if they could get exempt from something, so then they'll pursue that path. And we don't want to be exempt from mitzvos. We want the opportunity to fulfill God's command, or to work towards God's command. And here, that's maybe the point, that even when you're not going to be mekayim the mitzvah in its actual sense, but you're still involved in that process, even without the kiyum ha-mitzvah, that itself is a part of the inspiration. And Rav Moshe suggests that that's the relevance to the pasuk that is towards the end of this aliyah, a very familiar pasuk, V'zos ha-Torah asher asa Moshe lifnei b'nei Yisrael. The question of what exactly is that doing there? And Rashi has a line, Zohi she'asid l'asader acher parshazu, that's what's coming on after this, acher parshazu. But that's an interesting interpretation. Rav Moshe writes, he thinks that it means kind of as a bookend to this, that this display of avos ha-Torah, that is what the Torah is, even without the actual command and fulfillment of a command. And that's something to which we should find very inspiring. And the Tshuvas Tira Sheyitzer, so he has a lot of discussion about this, and he talks about the fact that we're familiar with this pasuk because we know that this pasuk is recited during Hagbah, and it's recited with a few more words which, if you're not checking inside, so you might think all these words are together in the Torah. He quotes a sefer that writes that in his youth he thought from listening to Haggah that the pasuk is "Bezosa Torah Asher Asam Moshe Lefnei Bnei Yisrael Al Pi Hashem Biad Moshe," but Al Pi Hashem Biad Moshe is not here. It's in Parshas Baloscha. So there's a lot of discussion as to why these pesukim are combined. And he has a tshuva about that, the Tirish V'Yitzar. He has a number of different pshatim, and in the context of suggesting why our meaning is to combine these, so he talks also about the question of just why is this connected to the Ari Miklat. And he suggests that it has to do with the fact that this effort that Moshe Rabbeinu was putting into place to help save lives, to help protect those who have to run away, so that itself is very significant, and therefore that's going to be highlighted as the whole Torah. This is the whole Torah, the idea that you're trying to help people be secure, trying to help people be safe, even though this person himself, and something we'll expand upon in a moment, was the cause of someone else's death. So that itself is striking, but nonetheless, at this point, we're trying to save his life by providing the Seir Miklat, so that's the kind of mitzvah that is representative of the whole effort of the Torah. But then he goes on to say also that because we have a din that the Gemara derives from this Ali, also the Gemara Makos and Daf Yud, that the Pasuk says that the Ritzeach B'Shogeg has to run to this city of refuge, and he will live there. So what does it mean he will live there? So the Gemara says that he has to have what he needs, and that if a Talmud is exiled, is sent into Galus, so his Rebbe has to go with him. So even though the Rebbe didn't kill anyone, but he also has to go into Galus with him. So the Gemara actually makes the point that that shows we should be careful about the Talmidim. We should make sure the Talmidim she'enim hagunim, are not unworthy Talmidim who are careless about life and death, because the Rebbe could end up paying the price also. But it seems really that there is another point here, and maybe the points are related, that it shows the connection that the Rebbe has to the Talmud and the connection the Rebbe feels for the Talmud, that if the Talmud is going to be exiled, so he comes with him because he has such a concern for his well-being, and that his relationship in giving him Torah, that's life. So to be exiled, that's one thing, but to be without your life, to be without the Torah that the Rebbe is giving you, so that's too much. And that's part of what the Tirish V'Yitzar also discusses here, as maybe that's the idea of saying in the context of the Ari Miklat of Zosa Torah, this is what the whole Torah is about, the fact that Torah is life, and we see that in this din. And maybe also the notion of what the Gemara tells us, that one shouldn't teach a Talmud she'eino hagun, maybe part of the reality that he's not hagun, that he's not sensitive enough to life in this case, has to do with the Rebbe not imparting that message carefully enough and not showing his own concern for the well-being of the Talmud. So perhaps all of these ideas are interrelated, that the Rebbe is so closely tied to the fate of the Talmud, and the Rebbe should be conveying to the Talmud just how precious life is, and therefore just how careful he has to be. And so our minhag to combine the psukim in Haggah and to add Al Pi Hashem Biad Moshe, that this comes directly from the Rebbe-Talmud relationship of God to Moshe. So we have the Rebbe-Talmud relationship of Moshe to the Jewish people. That's what this pasuk itself is conveying to us. And then all future Rebbe-Talmud relationships, as the din of the Rebbe being exiled with the Talmud, also derived from these psukim, is being conveyed. And all of that is a result of the original Rebbe-Talmud relationship of HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself, as the Rebbe giving the Torah directly to Moshe. So all of that's a very powerful idea, and maybe that's what the Gemara is suggesting, and maybe that's also what this placement in the Torah is telling us, that this is the entire Torah, and this is what we should appreciate, the way Torah is life. So Moshe Rabbeinu has a tshuka to be able to show this and to be able to make this point. Moshe David Steinwurzel is quoted as saying in the Sefer Yedaber David that also the fact that this mitzvah is something that's going to have impact in the future, that's also part of the idea of Zosa Torah, that we are thinking about the future, we're not only thinking about the moment, and that kind of mentality is crucial to understand the whole Torah. Nassim Gestetner, his Sefer Laharus Nassim, he also points out that we know the Gemara tells us, and this is really the theme of the beginning of the Parsha, that Moshe Rabbeinu was so desperate to go into the land of Israel, and the Kadosh Baruch Hu was telling him that he's not going to be allowed in, and the Gemara tells us that he was so desperate because he wanted to be involved in the mitzvahs hatzlius ba'aretz. He wanted to be able to do those mitzvos that could only be performed in Eretz Yisrael. So missing out on that, that wasn't being granted to him, so he wanted to at least have an impact that's being felt in Eretz Yisrael. So therefore, to start this process of setting aside the Ari Mikvah, that's something that will ultimately have an impact in the land of Israel. So that was his way of having a connection. But we could also tie this into the previous point about the Ahavas HaMitzvos that Rav Moshe was emphasizing and that others were emphasizing, is those mitzvos HaTzlius Ba'aretz. The Gemara says in Sota that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu, okay, you're not going to be able to come into the land, but I'll give you the schar as if you did come in. You know, you're pater. You know, you're not able. Kadosh Baruch Hu is not letting you, so onus rachmana patre, it's physically impossible, and I'll actually give you the schar for the mitzvah, and you should be happy with that. And we see that Moshe wanted Davka to be involved in the mitzvah. It wasn't enough that he had a good excuse. It wasn't enough even for him to have the schar of the mitzvah, but that he wanted to have that actual involvement and not just be let off without any kind of blame. And that's that whole midah that is being displayed here specifically. So all of that is very crucial. But the idea, again, that there's a significance specifically to the Ari Miklat also addresses our attention to the fact that the Ari Miklat is a kapara for those who are not careful enough about life, those who did not have a sensitivity for life and death. And it's very striking that the whole notion of Gullus as a kapara for that is something to really think about, and the idea that the Rotzeach B'Shogeg is himself vulnerable unless he stays in the Eir Miklat because he is now being chased. So perhaps the notion is that that itself is the kapara. You know, it's interesting, they say that they asked Rav Aaron Cutler. Rav Aaron Cutler was the great Rosh Yeshiva of Lakewood, that why did the Kadosh Baruch Hu work out the world the way he did, that those who are most able or most interested in learning his Torah, the great Rosh Yeshiva, they are not really able to spend any time learning because now they have to travel around the world raising money for the yeshiva. So why is that that they have to have lives that have very little Limud HaTorah, at least nowhere near as much Limud HaTorah as they would want? And Rav Aaron Cutler, as the legend has it, he had three answers. I only know two of them. But one answer was that this is going to cause more Habatzas HaTorah, that the Rosh Yeshiva is going to have to travel around the world giving shiurim, so there'll be more Habatzas HaTorah. But the last answer, I don't know what the second answer was, but the third answer was that we know that the Gemara tells us that somebody who embarrasses someone else is considered comparable to killing them. So Rav Aaron said, sometimes a Rebbe will say something that will embarrass a Talmud. And he's not going to do it on purpose. He's not looking to be cruel. But inadvertently, he will embarrass a Talmud. So it's basically like a Ritzeach B'Shogeg. So Ritzeach B'Shogeg is Chayiv Galus. That's what happens to the Rosh Shiva. He gets sent out of his city. And he has to go wandering around as if he's in Galus as a Kapara. So it sounds like a cute idea. But I think perhaps what he means in a very specific sense is that the whole mentality of the Rotzeach B'Shogeg is that he's somebody who is not looking to hurt anybody. He's not evil in that sense, but he doesn't have enough of a sensitivity for human life. He doesn't have enough of a recognition of just how precious and precarious human life is. So therefore, he acts in an irresponsible way, and unfortunately, tragedy occurs. So how can we fix this? How can we have that sensitivity restored? So the fact that now he has to live a life where he's thinking about it all the time, he has to worry that if he leaves the Eir Miklat, then he's going to be vulnerable, then somebody's going to come after him. So now this person who wasn't thinking about life at all, who wasn't paying attention to it, now he has to be very conscious towards that. So that essentially is the kapara. And perhaps that's what Rav Aaron was saying, is that here you have the Rosh Yeshiva, again, he's not looking to embarrass anybody, but sometimes he may cause an embarrassment. So why does that happen? It happens perhaps because the Rosh Yeshiva forgot what it's like to be in the more subservient position. So he's in control of the classroom. He can say things without necessarily being aware of how somebody who's on a different level of society is going to experience what he's saying. It's not going to come across the same way as if he's talking to his colleagues. And therefore, he may inadvertently say something that is painful. So what's the kapara for that? The kapara is he has to go into Galus and he has to go wandering around the country to other people's turf and say to them, listen, could you please help me? Could you give me a little bit to sustain my yeshiva? He's now in the vulnerable, subservient position. So that mentality switches around his mindset where he wasn't conscious of this. Now he has to be more conscious about this. He has to be thinking about this all the time. And that's perhaps a kapara. So maybe that's the idea when it comes to the Yer Miklat as well. It's all about trying to restore this crucial sensitivity to human life and to the vulnerability of human life. And that perhaps is relevant also to a really fascinating idea that here already this Pol Pasuk, this Aliyah starts off kind of in the future language of Az Yavdil, and the Psukim tell us in Parshas Shoftim that there's going to be more in the future, as the Rambam writes, that this is for Yemosa Mashiach. So everyone asks, why are we going to need more Arei Miklat for Yemosa Mashiach? The Arei Miklat are for people who are Rotzchim, even B'shogeg, and in the times of Mashiach, there's not going to be any more death, there's not going to be any more Averos, even Averos B'shogeg. So why would we need more Arei Miklat? We should need no Arei Miklat, not more. Some Cheschinuch says that this is Gzeres HaKosev, and some, like the Alshech, write that they are to be Mechaper for those Resichas B'shogeg that happened before B'yasa Mashiach. But there are some who explain, I think the Rashid of Karen B'Avna made this observation, the others make this observation, that that's Davka the point, that in a time when there's not going to be any death, there's not going to be any sin, so we could perhaps forget about just how precious life is. Right now, we're constantly reminded, if we're paying attention, to how precious life is by the fact that Rahman al-Islam, things happen and people lose their lives. But life is always precious, life is always valuable, even if it's not subject to vulnerability, and therefore all the more so, even B'mos Mashiach, we will need a reminder of just how chashuv life is, and that's what the Arei Miklat will serve to remind us of. So this is something, especially on this week of Nachamu, as we are coming out of a period of mourning and focusing on tragedy, that yes, as much as we celebrate Nachamu, but we have to have an appreciation for the vulnerability, for the preciousness of life, for just how much it requires that kind of sensitivity and that kind of protection. And it's too easy to forget about that. And Rav Asher Weiss was quoted recently as giving clear guidance about the Bein Hazmanim, the things that people sometimes are involved in that are dangerous. And he really said that he can't believe that people are so careful about Hilchos Kashrus, but the halachos of protecting their lives, they're not necessarily so careful about. So there are so many things that can expose us to vulnerability, and it's crucial that we are constantly sensitive to the value of our own lives and the lives of others, and that's the only thing to put others at risk, and that the statement that we're making is that every life is precious, and every minute that we have to experience that life is something that we have to show with our action and with our attitudes that we esteem greatly. And that's a major message of this Aliyah, and perhaps of Zosa Torah. This is the Torah that we are trying to convey and that we are trying to emphasize and trying to appreciate. And we've gone through a long tkufa of COVID here, which has reminded us again of vulnerability and sensitivity, and yet in some cases it's had the opposite effect. That people have acted in a more reckless fashion, and Rahman al-Aslan, if you read, has been terrible, terrible fatalities from car crashes, people driving in a way that seems to be completely abandoning all care, and it's just, some of the stories are absolutely horrific, and it's hard to explain why that is. Just as in some cases been a reduced sensitivity, maybe a feeling of Yeish, and we're reminded of just how much that sensitivity is crucial, and even when we're not doing anything dangerous, but just to be able to have that appreciation for this tremendous gift that life is and what can be done with it, that's really the Iker Nechama, and we should be zocher that the Shabbos of Nachamu should be a time where we show ourselves worthy of the Nechama by fully appreciating the moments that we have and how we can put them to great use. L'chavod ol tiferes and the kiddushim shemayim. We should all have a wonderful Shabbos Nachamu, and we should only go higher and higher from here.